Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. This is the second sermon, but it's all good. Let us pray. Precious Father, I just want to thank you for this hour, which in your wisdom you have designed to bring us healing. You are the God that makes all things perfect. In your providence, you have programmed this time that you will heal your people. We trust you with this program. We rely on you. We know what you have promised, and we know you're faithful. Your word is true. Your word is yea. Your word is amen. You are giving us your spirit to teach us. We yield to him so that he will glorify Jesus and our joy shall be full. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The theme and the topic for this Living Word conference is really very, very amazing. It's healed. Just one word. It's healed. It's an announcement. It's healed. And it takes it John 5:8. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So Jesus announced to him, you are healed. Get up, go home. And that's the same announcement that this program is intended to bring. We are here to announce to everyone that Jesus has healed you. Take up your mat and do what? Go home. And we want to establish this from scripture so that you know that this announcement is not vain. It's not something we're making because we want you to feel good. No. It's what the scripture teaches. So we're going to look at what happened in the Old Testament, which is a shadow, a foreshadowing of the New Testament. God, being a great teacher, gave us things we can see physically in the Old Testament so that when they begin to happen spiritually in the New Testament, we'll be able to have a reference point so we can understand them. So we're going to look at the year of Jubilee. The year of what? I want to hear you. The year of what? Jubilee. And to fully understand this truth and reality of this announcement, we really need to look at it. Where God demonstrated what the body of Christ has missed for too long. For too long. And yet, it's right there, staring us in the face. It is the year of Jubilee that God instituted to foreshadow the New Testament benefits based on the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The year of Jubilee was instituted by God to foreshadow that the benefit of the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of neglecting this truth, many are struggling to access the blessing of God, including healing, based on what they have done to merit it. I have somebody say, oh, this takes 2 9 videos. So his confidence is not really in Christ. Many, neglecting this truth, many are struggling to access the blessing of God based on what they have done to merit that blessing. And they are failing. And in fact, it's opening the door to the devil to deceive them further by giving them false miracles. Yet the work has been finished, and we are simply invited to come and feast. What is the year of Jubilee? I want to quote from other teachers, other sources, before we look at the Bible. This is cgg.org. cgg.org is a church. It's a church, they say, the Church of the Great God. So their website is cgg.org. This is what they wrote. God says, when you come into the land, that's quoting Leviticus 25 verse 2, When you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep. Then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. Leviticus 25:2. See also Exodus 23:10-11. The following verses explain that each seventh year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Each seventh year was to be a land Sabbath, during which no crops were to be sown or harvested. If any produce grew by itself, it could be used for daily food by the farmer and the poor of the land. Debts incurred by the poor during the previous 6 years that had come up due were to be canceled at the end of the seventh year. And then, after seven cycles of these 7 years, the first 7 years, at the end of that seventh year, there is Sabbath for the land. You don't cultivate the land, and debts that people owe is forgiven. Then another 7 years, you repeat it. Another 7 years, you repeat it. Another 7 years, you repeat it. Until how many times? Until how many times? Seven. Seven times seven is what? You don't know. Seven times seven is what? 49, not 49, 49. Seven times seven is 49. So after seven cycles of sabbatical year, a total of 49 years, the 50th year now was proclaimed a jubilee. Church, I want you to follow me. This has been here and the church is not talking about it. Was proclaimed a jubilee. That's Leviticus 25:8-12. Again, the land was to rest from cultivation. All families that had become poor and had mortgaged their land could return to their position. They regained them. Now let's read what Christianity.com says about this 50th year that God instituted to teach us about the cross. To teach us about the cross. It said, the year of Jubilee, which, this is Christianity.com. The year of Jubilee, which came every 50th year, was a year of full, number one, releasing people from their debts. Number two, releasing all slaves. Number three, returning property to those who owned them. So if you had a mortgage, once it's that year, the bank has to forego it. Yeah, the property is yours. You return property, if you use property to mortgage something, at the end, that 58th year, that property returns to you, irrespective of how much you paid. This year was also dedicated to rest, in which you don't make any work to make it happen. During this year, the Israelites were not supposed to reap or harvest. It was a time for people to return to their families and loved ones. Let me read godquestions.com. This is a Christian website too. It said the word jubilee literally means the blast of the horn. The blast of the horn in Hebrew. It's defined in Leviticus 25:9 as the sabbatical year after seven cycles of 7 years, 49 years. The 50th year was to be a time of celebration and rejoicing for the Israelites. The ram song was blown, which announced it, was blown on the 10th day of the seventh month to start the 50th year of the universal redemption. The year of Jubilee involved a year of release from indebtedness, and all types of bondage. Slaves were set free. All prisoners and captives were set free. All slaves were. I'm telling you, God is demonstrating what Christ was going to do. Staring us in the face, we don't even talk about it. All prisoners and captives were set free. All slaves were released. All debts were forgiven. And can you see Jesus there? All debts were forgiven. All property were returned to its original owner. In addition, all labor was to cease for 1 year. God said, enter into my rest. One of the benefits of the Jubilee was that both the land and the people were able to rest. Now, this year of Jubilee, let's read from Scripture. Follow me, people. Leviticus 25, now you need to understand why that announcement is made. Healed. If you do, you walk out here, healed. If you do, you walk out here, what? Healed. So you got to listen. The year of Jubilee from Scripture, let's read from Bible. We read from all these websites. And Leviticus 25, 9. Then on the Day of Atonement in the 50th year, it doesn't happen until the Day of Atonement. It doesn't happen until Christ has atoned. It doesn't happen until the atonement. You don't announce nothing until the atonement is made. Then on the Day of Atonement in the 50th year, blow the ram horns. Announce it. Loud and long throughout the land. Set this year apart as holy. A time to proclaim freedom. Are you seeing Jesus there? To proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there. It will be a jubilee year for you. When each of you may return to the land that belonged to their ancestors, you return to your health and return to your own clan. This 50th year will be a jubilee for you. During that year, you must not plant your fields, enter into his rest. You don't have to do anything to make it happen. During that year, you must not plant for your fields or store away any of the crops that grow on their own. And don't gather the grapes from your compound and from your unpruned vines. It will be a jubilee year for you. And you must keep it holy. But you may now eat whatever the land produces on you. This blessing is coming on you. It's not from your labor. It's going to come on you. In the year of Jubilee, each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors. What you lost, all of them is coming back to you. This freedom was not available until the atonement for sin has been made. Very significant. And once that atonement is made, it's a blow that horn, blow it long. Announce it. Leviticus 25, 9. Then on the Day of Atonement, in the 50th year, blow the ram's horn loud and long throughout the land. There is no jubilee without the atonement. The jubilee is a picture of the freedom in Christ made possible by the atonement and announced by the gospel. Let's hear from godquestions.org again. They said, the jubilee, thank you. That's why it's good to have good daughters. Thank you. The jubilee presents a beautiful picture of, presents a beautiful picture of the New Testament themes of redemption and forgiveness. Christ is the Redeemer who came to set free those who are slaves, prisoners to sin, slaves to sickness, in all manner of bondages. and on his own account. John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are what? Announced. Has the Son made you free? You are healed. Galatians 5:1. So Christ has truly set us free. Christ has truly set us free. Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Because if you go back to laws and what to do, you enter into slavery right away. But if you stay in Christ, you stay in freedom. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture declared that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:30. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness, not going to, delivered us from the power of darkness. Whatever that power does, whatever that power does, not some of it, from the power of darkness, and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his what? Blood. Without the atonement, there's no redemption. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. The debt of sin we owe God was paid on the cross as Jesus died on our behalf. The jubilee, God's jubilee, is Christ on the cross, the atonement, and the gospel announces it. That's why it's called the good news. And loud and clear, it's finished. We don't do it. Colossians 2:30. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave what? Forgave all our sins. Why did he forgive it? He canceled the record of the charges against us. Took it away by nailing it on the cross. He said, on that cross, where atonement was made, your sins were nailed there. So God forgave it all. Many people in the body of Christ don't believe it. They still want God to judge them and kill them and destroy them. They don't believe it. They don't believe the gospel at all. I'm telling you the truth. Let me read it again. The word of God, the testimony of the Holy Spirit, the infallible truth. You were dead because of all of us, because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave what? Some of our sins. All our sins. Why? He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it on the cross. That's what God did. Remember, the Jubilee is year of rest where God does everything. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers, the authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross on our behalf. So he set us free from them. And then the website said, and we are forgiven the debt forever. We are no longer in bondage, no longer slaves to sin, having been freed by Christ. Romans 6:6. We know that our old sinful self were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Jubilee, God demonstrated it. He said, in that year, every slave goes free, every indebtedness paid. Indebtedness is paid. Our indebtedness to sin, to God, paid. Every bondage, everything you lost, returned. Everything we lost in Adam, returned. See what God did and learn. He says, now we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sins. For when he died, when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And God says, who has believed our what? So that he will experience this thing. That's why the just lives by faith. Faith is entering into his rest and enjoying his labor. We find it difficult. And we're failing and we're pushing things under the rug because nobody knows that, covering it up. But God sees all of that. So that website said, and we can only enter the rest God provides as we cease, listen, church, as we cease laboring to make ourselves acceptable to God by our own works. You can't be accepted. You can never be accepted to God by what you do. If there's no blood sacrifice, we remain in our sins and we'll go to hell. I don't care what we do. The atonement brought the announcement. And our Lord himself made this announcement. The book of Hebrews said the gospel was pronounced. He preached it. He was the one that announced it to start with. And so in Luke chapter 4:17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he started searching. He was looking for somewhere. He found the place where it was written. He found it. He wanted to read it. He wanted to declare this announcement himself. He found the flavor written, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The poor is that you have nothing to pay for this thing. It's nothing you have that can pay for these blessings that's coming your way. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the... See the jubilee being enumerated point by point right here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. We owed God debt for our sin. Can pay it. But he paid it for us. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. See the jubilee. And recovering of sight to the blind, which means people who are ignorant of the truth, to bring them revelation of the truth, who is Christ himself. To set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, this is the year of your jubilee. Can I hear amen, church? This is the year of your what? Jubilee. This is the jubilee you saw. This is the reality of it right here. What does he mean by acceptable year of the Lord? Now let's read that verse 19 in Amplified. I want you to listen to me. If you listen to me and you understand this thing, you will say a big amen to that announcement healed. And between you and God and the Spirit of God, you go home healed. Because God will never lie. It's impossible. Luke 4:19. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation, what is salvation? Freedom. To be saved from calamity, saved from healing, from sickness. Freedom, total freedom. The word salvation is to salvage, to deliver. What other word can we use? To heal is salvation. Because sickness is terrible. If you are healed and you're well, you are saved from that attack of sickness. Delivered from power of sin. Delivered from power of Satan. Your debts are paid in full. Salvation is a package. The church has focused on sin only. And don't even know the benefit of that forgiveness. He said, the day when salvation and the free favor of God profusely abound. He said, announce it. It's everywhere. It's for you. What is salvation when I'm bound in one area? Then? The Bible says that Christ saved us to the uttermost, nothing left. Let's read 2 Corinthians 6, 2 to confirm this. For he said, this is the Holy Spirit, right? For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted in the day of salvation. The day I've sent out salvation. Have I succored thee? Succor means help. I've sent to her. Behold, now is the what? Come on, church. Now is the what? This is the time of favor. You are accepted. Accepted time. Behold, now is the day of what? So when Jesus said to them, acceptable year of the Lord, what he's announcing is the year of freedom, the year of salvation. Your jubilee is come. You know, when John the Baptist was doubting him and saying to him, he said, I doubt he that cometh. All he did was to announce the jubilee to him. He said, John, this is the year of jubilee. In John, Matthew 11, 2. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, I doubt he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again those things quick to do here and see. And he quoted Isaiah 61 from verse 1 to him. He didn't give his own word. Then he quoted also Isaiah 55, 5 to 6, declaring the jubilee is here. That's what I came for. Confirms that I'm here. Then he says, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do here and say. You know, Jesus said, the words I speak are not mine. So I'm giving him the word that God spoke. The blind receive what? Read it with me, come on. The blind what? That's right. And what happened? The lame walk. And what happened? Lepers are cleansed. And what happened? The deaf hear. And what happened? The dead are raised up. And what happened? The poor have the gospel preached. I'm announcing it to those who have the ability. You don't have anything to get these things. I'm announcing it to them. So go and tell them. Tell them. The jubilee is here. And let me make a point, and I want you to get this point here. At this point, when Jesus was announcing this to John and saying, hey, people are being healed and this happening, he hasn't gone to the cross. He hasn't. He was operating at that point as an Old Testament prophet. They say the prophet is here. He was Jesus operated in all the five offices of the church. The Lord, my shepherd, was an apostle. He was a prophet. He was a pastor. He was a teacher. He operated in all of them. And in the calling of God, listen to me, only an apostle can operate all these offices. Only an apostle, any person with apostle. Why? The way God taught me, he said, you see, God will teach you, say, see, this is apostle. He said, the apostle can do this, do this, do this, do this. He said, but these fingers can't touch each other. So only apostle can operate as a pastor, operate as a prophet. See, you can operate. Say, why? Because they are church planters. So when they start, they don't have any of these things. So they operate all of them. And then the people come under that anointing and grow, and their giftings begin to come. So they start operating in different offices. Jesus was a prophet of God. They called him a prophet of Nazareth. He was operating under the Old Testament gifting. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is what? I'm operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I was anointed to stand in this office until he went to the cross. The Old Testament was still in place. And all he was doing before the cross was, and operating as an Old Testament prophet, was foreshadowing the cross too. Because it was on the cross that the reality of God was revealed. The consummation of divine plan was on the cross. Before the cross, He was an Old Testament prophet, operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And all that we see him say, you see the people are being healed, this is healed, is foreshadowing what the cross will bring a mass to the whole world. If you're following me, shout hallelujah. It's foreshadowing. I want to show you something. Why was he really healing people like that before the blood was shed? Like I said, he was operating under the anointing of God. Because, you know, the scripture said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and doing what? He was operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to notice something very revealing. He was healing them based on mercy and forgiveness also. Oh, why do you say Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me? Why mercy? You need mercy when you are guilty. Okay, if you come to me and I say, okay, I have mercy on you, you say, Pastor, but what did I do? And if there's nothing you did, then you tell your wife, it looks like this man caught his hair, something has gone wrong. Because the moment you talk of mercy, the automatic thing is that there's guilt. Period. Church, listen to me. Everything Jesus did, he did based on the basis of mercy. Forgiveness. Because the whole world has sinned. Come short of the glory of God. Nobody merited anything from God. He was foreshadowing the mercy that would be released on the cross for mankind. Let me show you an example. We're going somewhere. We're going to connect all these things to the blood, and you see why that announcement is true and real, and you accept it, you go home well. Can I hear amen? Are you following me to this point? Follow me. Now let's read from scripture. Luke chapter 5:20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are what? He didn't say, okay, let me heal you, no. Oh, God. He says, this healing is going to come as a result of mercy. All of you have. I want to foreshadow the cross. I'm an Old Testament prophet. Your sins are what? Why did Jesus start by talking about sin instead of telling him, go, you're healed? He's teaching us something. The forgiveness of sin foreshadows, precedes every blessing of God to mankind. All of it. All of it. And the scribe and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what is in your heart? Whether it's easier to say, thy sins what? Are forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. He's trying to tell them, when sins are forgiven, the blessings are automatic. Because what blocks it is the sin you people commit. God says, my hand is not too short to deliver you. It's your sin that came between us. And he came to forgive sin so that the blessings will flow. He said, which one is easier? Don't you understand? That once sin is forgiven, the blessing comes. If there's an atonement, you can announce the jubilee. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. He said, I have power to forgive sin. I came to be the sin bearer of the whole world. I'm foreshadowing what I'm going to do. I have the power to. I'm God anyway. It's a God giving the judgment of the world to me. I have power to forgive sins. And if I forgive him his sins, his sickness is automatically healed. Two of them are tied. All your blessings are tied to that. If that will humble us, let it humble us. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thy own house. And what happened? Let's read it. Go. Let's go. One, two, go. And immediately he rose up before them, took up that wherein he lay, and departed to his what? House. Doing what? No prayer, nothing. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Your sickness is gone. I came to announce the jubilee when I go to the cross and take away your sin. The same way healing comes to you automatic. Automatic. See another example. John, are you following what I'm saying here? If you are following me, shout hallelujah. If you are sleeping, say amen. John 5:5. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. 6. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, made whole. The impotent man answered him, saying, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another stepped down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and what? He said, pastor, did he forgive his sin? Yes, and I will show you in Bible. That why that thing happened was that Jesus forgave. You remember, he said, I can say your sins are forgiven, or I can tell you, rise up. You will always see that forgiveness of sin opens the door to all divine blessings, all of them. Look at John 5:40. Afterward, Jesus findeth him the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more. Sin no more. Let the worst thing come unto thee. The reason you got that was your sin was, I forgive your sin. But don't go and be doing more. Forgiveness consummated in Christ Jesus. What God consummated in Christ Jesus accomplished the work of forgiveness. The work that God consummated in Christ on the cross accomplished all the work of forgiveness, resulting in healing, freedom, and in fact, all the blessings of heaven. All of it. All of it. Colossians 2:2. The Holy Spirit wants you to understand this plan that God consummated in Jesus Christ. I want them to be encouraged and to knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is who? Christ himself. You must understand this plan that the atonement brought you the blessings of God. And that atonement was consummated in Christ with his blood. Without the shedding of that blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And they said, the reason I'm telling you this, verse 3, in him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I'm telling you this, so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. People bring all manner of things that look religious to people to do, and they neglect Jesus, neglect the cross. And they're doing rituals. 1 a.m. ritual. 3 a.m. ritual. Are we not even reading our Bible? The book of Colossians said you don't need all those things. That you are complete in what? In Christ. You don't need anything again. You don't need a special day. You don't need anything. He said those things are teaching from demons. Read your Bible. I didn't write it. It's right there. But people follow them. They've been so deceived, they're so rooted in those deceitful things that has no place in Scripture. And as a result of the atonement, Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All of it. Is healing part of it? Only these people say this. Are you people here? Is healing part of it? If you say God has blessed me with all spiritual blessings and there's no healing there, you are lying. Because healing is part of blessing. If the scripture says all, it means it includes healing. Let me remind us the reason for the blessing. Leviticus 25:9. Then the day of atonement in the fifth year, blow the ram's horn loud and long throughout the land. The moment the atonement is finished, boom, and the sin is dealt with, you can announce to them there's freedom. In fact, immediately they hear the horn, the atonement has been done. Every slave is packing his things and what? Packing his things and what? Going home. All indebtedness paid. Husband and wife, that's why I say it's a day of celebration. They'll be rejoicing and say, man, we are free of that debt. We're not paying it. We're done. This is awesome. Everybody. He said, all the things that you lost, you go get them back. If you lost health, it's back. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice that God had in mind when he said on the day of atonement. In 1 John 2:2, he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. Can I hear a bigger amen here? He is the sacrifice that what? That what? Are you afraid to say that? That what? Atones for whose sins? Put yourself, my friend. Don't put our. That atones for what? My sins. I want you to say it one more time. He himself is what? Atoning sacrifice that atones for my what? For my own personal sins. Appropriate it. Make it personal. That's how it works. And not only my sins of the whole world. There is no other sacrifice that atones for sins. Do you know anyone that God accepts? But we create all this. There's this book, Christ the Healer by F.F. Butterworth. I would recommend it to every Christian. Thousands of people who read it got healed, realizing these truths. Don Henson, in his website, lifehopeandtruth.com, he said, these verses about 1 John 2:2, he himself is the sacrifice that atones for sins. He said, these verses express the grace of God, which allowed Jesus' sacrifice to be the means by which our sins can be forgiven. There's no other means. Because when he died, he paid for our sins. Romans 5:11. And not so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the what? The atonement. If I've received it, then announce the jubilee. You are healed. You are free. You are no more a slave. Your debt is paid. Announce it. Look at what David said. Psalm 103, we read. I hope this is not cutting. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Do what? Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. The first thing David mentions there is the reason for the other ones. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? How does God forgive iniquities? Can God forgive iniquities without the shedding of that blood? So what David is saying is that an atonement has been made. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And the only way God forgives sins is through the blood. David is saying an atonement has been made. Remember, David was spoken as an old prophet, Old Testament prophet. An atonement has been made. Talking about Christ. And then he began to give us the benefits of that atonement. David was announcing the Jubilee too. He says, who healeth what? Ordered. Which one is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven or your sickness are healed. The same thing. Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemed their life from destruction? Is it not what was announced in the Jubilee? Freedom for slave, freedom for this, payment for that. Let me read from F.F. Bosworth. He said, God heals sickness on the same ground of forgiving sins because the atonement of Jesus is the only ground for any benefit to the fallen man. How can God save part of a man except through the atonement? There is no salvation without the atonement. Let's read other examples that show that the blood, once atonement is found, it stays sickness right away. Moses and Aaron, Numbers 16:46. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. Quickly, they are dying. Death has come. Judgment has descended here. For there is wrath out from the Lord, and the plague is begun. Plague is sickness. Is this working okay? The plague has started. Plague is sickness. 47. And Aaron took, as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague has begun among the people. Oh, and he put on incense, made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was what? Why did it stop? The atonement. He says it's not working well. Praise the Lord. I was hearing what you were not hearing. That's why I knew it wasn't working. It was cutting right. Are you following me here? Why was the plague stayed? That's only one reason. The atonement. And Moses knew that the only thing that will stop this is an atonement. Exodus 12:30. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, what will happen? It stops the plague. God himself said it. And he saw the blood of Jesus. You know, it's that blood that made the seat of God, the throne of God, the throne of grace and mercy. Is that blood? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And let's read the last, and what will happen? And Let's read that one. And what will happen? Let's read it again. Don't remove you and put me. Let's read it again. Let's read it again. Read it like you mean it again. Why? God said, when I see that blood. Remember, God said, don't announce anything until the day of atonement. Job 33:24. He will be gracious and say, rescue him from the grave, for I have found a ransom for his life. Job was talking. I found a ransom for his life. So he will be rescued from the grave. What is Job talking about? The soul that sinner shall what? But the gift of God. Stand alive. Because of the ransom. Verse 25. Then his body will become as healthy as a child's, firm and youthful again. Why? A ransom has been found. Why is the church finding it difficult to trust the work of Calvary? Because we have many years of walking in wrong doctrine called religion. Religion fits into the reasoning of man. Grace throws man off balance. Completely off balance. Because it's wisdom from heaven. Except the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, you think it's foolishness. Verse 26. When he prays to God, he will be what? Accepted. Jesus said, I came to announce the acceptable year of the Lord. Job is talking, it's because of the ransom. And God will receive him with joy and restore him to good standing. Is it not what Jesus said? Acceptable year of the Lord. The year when God's favor is abounding. Your jubilee has come. 28. God rescued me from the grave and now my life is filled with light. Yes, God does these things again and again for people. He rescues them from the grave so that they may enjoy the light of life. Can I hear a big amen here? You know, Moses, again in Numbers 21 verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he what? He lived. Because that serpent of brass is like Jesus on the cross. On the cross, Jesus was a curse. He became a curse on that cross. The Bible says, curse is any man that hangeth on the cross. He became sin. That serpent represented the Lord Jesus on that cross. The deceiver, the devil, that the prophecy. Jesus took all our sins, became God. God, he said, my father, why have thou what? Forsaken me. God said, No. Even his father took away his eyes from him. For God cannot behold. He became sin. The Son of God became sin. The atonement was there. He was paying for our sins. He became iniquity itself. I asked somebody, I said, if you can't accept the gift of righteousness, you will not have believed that Jesus, the Son of God, became sin. You can't believe that. Because it's more difficult to believe that the Son of God became sin. And that's what God made him. And made him a curse. And the scripture said, when you look at him and see your atonement, and see your atonement, and say he took your place right there, that healing will come to you. But if you don't look at him and you are looking at all other things you are doing, you've forgotten the scripture that said, looking unto who? Jesus, who is the author, finisher of your faith. And there's no salvation in other. We read these things. We should believe them now. First Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree. That's what we're saying. That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now let's see the same bruise. Church, it's amazing. Jesus said, which one do you want me to say? Your sins are forgiven or healed. They are the same thing. The same bruise that Jesus suffered because of our sins is the same bruise that brought us healing. Not another one. Not the same. When he paid for your sin, the same payment paid for your healing. So when Jesus said you are healed, it is not a vain word. It is your jubilee. Look at Isaiah 53:4. Surely our sicknesses he had what? But what is surely? Huh? Certainly. What other word? How many of you went to NJIT? Can we hear you? What other word? NJIT. Perform. Let's hear you. Assuredly. Who else? So that's all you know. How about Essex County? Essex County? Certainly. Awesome. Okay, what other college do we have? So the rest of you didn't go to school. Oh, Rutgers. Okay, Rutgers wants to perform. What other word? Definitely, that's Rutgers. Awesome. I think that will. If I call some schools, we'll be in trouble this evening. Some universities where some people went. So when God speaks to you, Reuben, look at me here. If God is looking in your eyes and telling you, Reuben, surely, how will you take it? Absolutely. God is looking into your eye and say, Reuben, surely, certainly, definitely, absolutely. I have what? I've carried your sickness, I've borne your pain. If God is telling you that, would that be true? Would that be true? But Jesus said that. Let's read it, Isaiah 43:4. Surely, let's go, one, two, go. Surely my sicknesses he had borne, my pains he had carried. And we have esteemed him plagued, he was plagued, he was smitten of God, he was afflicted. Verse 5. And he is pierced for our transgression. Watch the next one. Bruised for our what? The sentence of our peace on him, and by the same bruise, there is what? Healing for us. Who will believe the report of God? Why do we like falsehood, ritualism, the things that the Bible didn't teach? And be going round and round. I was sharing with my son, Yoka. I said, the Lord told me something. He said, if you see anybody going round and round, it's because he's not listening. He said, especially the youth. He said, if you see anybody going round and round the circle, he's not listening. Because if you listen, you have faith, victory comes. The same bruise, not another one. So the same bruise that paid for my sin brought me healing. Not another one. The church is strong. They say, yeah, he paid for our sins. But we don't tell people he also paid for your what? Sickness and their freedom. We should announce the entire jubilee. The debt is paid. Slavery is over. Bondage is over. Your possession is returned to you. And we're commissioned to go and preach forgiveness to people. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you, what? What is preached? What does the word preach mean? Announce. Announce. Announce it to people. Our atonement has been found. Your sins are forgiven. Oh, no. No. No, no, no. Where do we get the right to be preaching what God didn't give us? Are we going to, what will take God when we stand before him? Do we think that God is, God says you are better you are not born than you make one of these ones that believe in me to deviate? Who will answer it to me? Where do we get the right? The Holy Spirit says, preach the word in season, out of season. Say what the word says. Don't say what you think. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Announce it. An atonement has been, Job said, once it's found, it draws you out of the grave. That's how you glorify Jesus. 39. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Then he warned us, beware therefore, lest there come upon you, which is spoken of the prophets. 41, behold, you despise us. You despise these things and wonder and perish. For I walk a walk in your days, a walk which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. He said, you keep doing this, you are going to end in destruction. Because it's the atonement that draws you out of the grave. The church must preach the gospel, the good news. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to himself. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Let's read the next sentence. No longer what? Counting what? Their sins. Do you know he's counting their sins against them? It's the body of Christ. They refuse to forgive people. They don't imagine how God can accept anybody. God said, I'm not counting it. Why are you counting? An atonement has been made for them. An atonement has been made not only for you, but for the whole world. All they need to do is to come and accept it. Reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Is that what we preach? So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to be an offering for your sin. So that we can be made right with God through Christ Jesus. This is what the church is supposed to announce. The Jubilee should be announced. Atonement has been found. F.F. Bosworth, let me quote him again. He says, the reason why many of the sick of our day have not returned to their physical position of good health is because that they have not had trumpet sound on this line of revelation. Faith cometh by hearing, and they have not heard because many ministers had their gospel trumpet put out of order while they were in the seminary, and by ignorance of the gospel too. I added this, some of these ones, by ignorance of the gospel. That's what he wrote. So what they blow is not, it's not the trumpet sound. Their trumpet is not working. Luke 4:21. And he began to say unto them, This day, in this scripture, is this scripture fulfilled where? Your ears. It must be heard, people. It must be faith fulfilled here. If I'm blowing a trumpet, if you don't hear it, you won't respond. You must hear it. Then F. A. Butler said, the salvation of any part of man without sacrifice is unknown to any part of Scripture. The gospel is about preaching and announcing the good news of Jubilee, not condemning people, calling on God to judge them, but freedom from those things that hold them bondage, that Christ has set them free from sin, set them free from this, so they can enjoy it and walk in freedom. Judgment will make them walk in freedom. Condemnation will make them walk in freedom. Because that's not the truth. But when they know the truth in Christ, the truth will what? Set them free. So the gospel is our Jubilee announcement. It announced this good news of freedom from all bondages, which is offered to mankind through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, the day of Jubilee is today, not tomorrow. When we hear it, it really works for us. Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Not everybody listens to that. Isaiah said so. Say, who has believed our report? We must hear the trumpet sound. Luke 5:15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitude came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. They have to hear. You have to hear. It is finished. He took your sickness. He took your infirmity. An atonement has been found, and freedom is for you. Go. You are healed. Take your mask and go home. The same bruise that you carry for your sin is the same bruise that healed you. If you got your sins forgiven, then you have your sickness healed. Luke 6:17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples, the great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they that were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue out of him and healed him. Everyone that touched him got healed. Mercy. But they had. You know why they were touching him? He told them, the Spirit of the Lord God is what? Upon me, he has anointed. They say, yeah, that's true. And they started touching. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Are you following me? If you are following me, shout hallelujah. So what do you announce to your neighbor after this point? Tell your neighbor something. Is that how you tell somebody you are healed? You should be saying something seriously. What did you tell your neighbor? Come on, I want to hear you. Why is he healed? An atonement has been found. It's been found. That atonement, once it's done, remember before Jesus went to the cross, he told them, he said, don't tell anybody anything. He would tell them, he said, don't talk about it. Don't preach, don't announce this. It will hear some people say, no, go, don't tell anybody. It wasn't time for the announcement. But when he paid the price, he came to them and said, go into what? All the world, blow the trumpet loud and long. Salvation is here. Freedom has come. It is finished. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he said, I've had thee in a time accepted. Not going to hear you. I've had thee in the day, time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now, today, this night is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now. So this is time for releasing people from their debt. You don't owe sin nothing. I talked to sickness. I talked to all of them. I said, hey, the wages of sin is what? I don't owe sin nothing. Zero. I said, all my debt Jesus paid. You can't attach on this body. Are you kidding me? All my debt is paid. Sin. I don't owe you nothing. I don't owe you debt. I don't owe you sickness. You're in the wrong place. He paid my debt, all of it. My book is balanced before God. And besides that, in case you don't know, the blood is still speaking for me. And it's speaking mercy. And because of the Lord's mercy, I can't be consumed. That mercy talks of forgiveness. 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 I told you, once there's word mercy, there has to be guilt. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know, one thing the Lord taught me one time, He said, do a study and, he said, go and do a study on the honor I bestowed on Jesus. He said, the church doesn't know it. He said, I bestowed great honor on him. Go and read it. He said, the Holy Spirit came here to honor him. He said, how can you say something in Jesus' name and you don't believe it? He said, then you don't know the honor he has. If you know the honor he has, you know that if you ask in his name, heaven honors it, you too should honor it. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. Come on, I say, praise the Lord. He said, you say you know him, you don't know the honor he has. That if you rebuke the devil in that name, it's settled. Because God has bestowed incredible honor on him. That at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. So this is our year of jubilee. Not tomorrow. Release from all debts. Do you owe sin anything? So do you know it's your legal right to have eternal life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? So if you don't owe sin any debt, you don't owe him any dying, then life is yours because of the atonement. He said, all slaves are released. Didn't the Bible say, if the Son shall set you free? Are you free? So he said, return all the properties to those who owned everything we lost in Adam. Is back. Can I hear amen? You are back to your heart. You are back to your full health. Praise the Lord. He said, to your possession of health, every one of them. And then this year was so dedicated to rest. You don't have to do anything. These things have been finished. And we are called to enjoy them. Let me read again what the Lord Jesus announced. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is what? Because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal. Can I hear amen there? To preach, to announce to you deliverance to every captivity and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Let me tell you, people, the reality of the presence of God in your life. I was going to Canada one time. And I was driving. God is amazing. I was driving with my Mercedes because he would tell me, use your Mercedes. So I was driving. I didn't know that there was going to be a terrible storm. And I was racing. So I got in towards Niagara Falls. And then this storm started, you know, snow and all that stuff. So I said to the Lord, I said, what do I do now? He said, keep going. He said, keep going. I kept going. The storm was, and I was seeing less and less cars on the road. This storm was, and they said, keep going. So while I was going, I was just worshiping him and praising him. He said, keep going. So I got to the booth, you know, the boundary where you have all these custom people. They say, hey, sir, did you see the weather forecast? I said, I heard, but I didn't know it's like this. He said, there's nobody on the road. So they just stamped my passport and I passed into Canada. Immediately, I got into the main road. This thing was toppling 18-wheelers. And the Lord said, keep going. Restore, keep going. So I kept going. And then I turned into the road to my hotel. All the blinkers were saying, keep off the road, keep off the road. Every blinker was there. He said, keep going. So now to get to my hotel was a steep down this, and I remember I was very slippery. And then the Lord said to me, say, look at that, your car. There's a button, if you press it, it will help you hold your car. And I didn't even know it was there, so I saw it, yeah, that's true. So I pressed it. So my car was just going. When I got into the parking lot of the hotel, I looked at my car, I couldn't believe it. Piles of ice. I could not believe my eyes. I went into that room. I showered. I said, Lord, you are real. Why should we even doubt your word? You told me, keep going. He said, I want to show you I'm God over the weather. I don't take permission from weather. If I tell you to go, you go. I'm the Lord of salvation. They all bow to me. And when God is telling you, healed, take it to the bank. It is as true as it can be. Can I hear amen? Amen. Take it to what? To the bank. Say, who gave you? The Lord told me. A ransom has been found. I'm healed. I'm well. And your duty is to do what that man did. When God told that man, he said, take up their mat. And what? The man sat down, right? What did he do? He got up and walked. That's what you do. If you've had it, then respond. So I'm going to get you to rise up. It may not complete today, but it might gradually start and be working. If you have somebody that is not here and is not able to come here, you can lift him up before God and say, Lord, I stand for him. I stand for her, healed. I take this announcement serious. I take it serious. An atonement has been found. I am free. The Bible says all slaves are set free. Every debt is paid.
Amen. There is someone here. You're saying, yes, I know that the atonement has been made. I know I have been forgiven because I gave my life to Christ. But you don't know what I did. And the Lord is saying to you, you don't know what Jesus did. Just receive the forgiveness and mercy that has been offered to you. Whatever you have done, that may have opened the door for the devil. But you have been forgiven. You don't have to go back to that. But you don't know what Jesus did. That's what the Lord is saying. You don't know what my son did for you.
Let's continue to worship him. Open your heart and receive the mercy of God, people. It's of the Lord's mercy we are now consumed. Receive the forgiveness of sins. Be humble. Humble yourself. and say, Lord, yes, thank you. The blood was shed for me. Sacrifice was made for me. Atonement was for me. He paid my debt. I am out of debt. I am free. The Son has set me free. The same bruise that he had because of my sin, the same bruise brought me healing. I've entered into my healing, for the proclamation of the good news has announced freedom for me. From head to toe, I'm free.